I have the worst little bit of dry skin on my lip, and it looks like a herpes sore. And every time I make the mistake of putting like a lip stain over it, it like settles into it.
Oh, it like stain. I've had that happen before.
You know what I mean? And I keep forgetting. It's just like a patch of dry skin that will not go away.
It's like when you have you ever like, when you've had chapped lips, drank red wine, and it like stains the chap. It's disgusting. Like the worst thing in the world.
It's so gross. It's so gross. Oh. We're back.
We rolling? We're recording?
Happy New Year.
No, I wish. It makes me so sad that chiropractoring is not real.
Yeah, okay. So I just because I'll jump on the train to like debunk anything, I'm totally down for this chiropractors aren't real journey. But I really do need a chiropractor. So what do I do when the chiropractors aren't
real? I don't
know.
But there's like that guy on TikTok who like went through full chiropractic school and then is like, it's literally all fake. And he's like showing you. Like the one, you know how they do like the before and after x-rays? He's like, the difference between these two x-rays is that in one they're inhaling and in one they're exhaling. Like that, because like your muscle, your bones move. So it's like, if they're like slightly moved in a thing, it's like, yeah, because they were standing differently.
Yeah.
And it's like one of those things that's like, so obvious when someone explains this to you. I felt stupid.
But I just love to have my back cracked.
I know. I think the back is chill. I think the biggest concern is the neck.
Yeah, I'm just afraid that somebody's going to like paralyze
apparently
me.
It makes you really prone to stroke is what I heard. Like
cracking your neck?
Like in the way that chiropractic, like the
ones where. Oh, shit.
So that scares me.
Well, I crack it constantly. I'm addicted.
Yeah, but I think self-cracking is probably fine.
I'm sure it is. I don't have the kind of power that these guys do.
Well, you also just can't like do it to yourself in the way that they
do. I would be the type to give myself a stroke. That's so mean. To like just completely crack my neck so hard that I get a stroke.
Welcome to Basic Training, a podcast for people that need help.
And a podcast for people with a little crick in their neck, and they honestly prefer a stroke at the moment. No. This is so fucking painful. Does a stroke hurt?
It can. It can be like a blinding headache, or you can all of a sudden just like kind of go, no. Like there's a lot of different ones. I've read about strokes so many times.
Really?
I'm a little bit of like a hypochondriac, not in like a germophobic way at all, but like I will get like, okay, I've had a bump on my shin. Okay, I woke up in the morning after my birthday with like a cut and a bump on my shin where clearly like I drunkenly hit my leg.
Sure.
But the bump has not gone away. And I did spend like 3 days recently convincing myself it had developed into bone cancer.
What a symptom is of bone cancer?
Well, if you have like a lump on your bone.
Right.
I was like,
right,
bone cancer.
Sure.
And then I was like, okay, well, I guess my right leg is getting amputated. That's a tough 2024 for me.
I'm only a hypochondriac about certain parts of my body and other things like I treat like shit.
I used to be... My like gateway into it was I used to be obsessed with convincing myself I had meningitis, because if you have meningitis, there's like a 2 hour window to catch it, and then if you don't catch it, you die. So I was always like,
what?
Yeah, because there's viral and bacterial, and I can't remember which it is, but one of them, it's like, if you don't catch it early, you're done, you're toast. Because it's meningitis is an infection of your spinal column, like that's so serious. And so I think viral. Someone call in if I'm wrong, but I think viral is like, they're both horrific, but one of them is like, catch it now or you're done. And that's why like in college, did your college have like all the warning signs everywhere about like, cause like there can be outbreaks of it in like dorms and stuff. That's why meningitis is one of the vaccinations you like have to get to go to college now.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And maybe, I wonder if it's like an age thing. Maybe there was, but like, it's like, there's like a rash and it's like pain in your neck. Sorry, I'm just realizing that one of the things is pain in the neck. But it's like rash, pain in the neck, headache, fever. But the rash is like the one where it's like, you know, it's meningitis. You don't have meningitis.
Deuces, everyone.
No.
I was ready anyway. I am a hypochondriac about, like, I inhale nicotine like air. Like, I literally can't.
You're a vape queen.
I am a chimney. And I'm like, I never lose a bit of sleep. As I've said before, when people tell me like their New Year's resolution is that they're quitting vaping, I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing. Like, good for you.
Never.
I'm so glad I'll never have to deal with that. It doesn't apply to me.
I know what you mean.
And whatever that comes with, the risks of smoking and vaping do not apply to me. Like, that's not going to happen to me. However, if I leave a tampon in too long, I'm like, well,
I better
say a really long goodbye to my mom on the phone tonight because I'm never going to see her again. And I accept it too. Like, I'll lay in bed like,
wait,
all right, well, this is my last sleep.
Can't you just take the tampon out?
Yes, but then I worry that it caused an infection if I forgot to like.
Oh, I thought once the tampon out, you were fine. I guess.
That's a great question. I have no idea. I'm such a hypochondriac about areas like my nether region, like anything STD related, uterus related.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of anything that enters my vagina that could kill me. I think that translates to a lot of other problems and probably what I think about men. But when it comes to things I actually do, like eating poorly, not sleeping, I've gone to bed at 6 a.m. for the past 2 weeks straight. I don't think that that has any effect on me whatsoever.
6 a.m. to when? Noon?
Oh, I'll sleep till 9. Like, I'll go for 3 hours. Sometimes I'll sleep till 3 p.m. Like, it just, okay. There's no schedule.
I don't judge anyone's time frame as long as they're getting enough. And I also don't
Only over the holidays because there was nothing to do. And now I'm going to have to go back to my usual, which is like 3 a.m. to 9, 10. So.
That's a normal, 7 hours is an adequate amount of sleep.
Sure. But okay, what'd you do for New Year's?
Well, it was a disaster.
What happened?
Okay, so you remember how I got sick at the Hanukkah party?
Yes.
So New Year's Eve, the mystery was solved. I think I'm allergic to caviar because I ate caviar again.
Oh, I thought you were referring to that on your story to the last time.
No,
it happened again.
Because I didn't know. And I was like, there was caviar at the restaurant.
So it wasn't the latkes.
I never thought it was the latkes. I put caviar on the latkes. I also never thought...
That's a sin, first of all. Secondly...
Wait, what do you mean?
There's no way that it's okay to put caviar in a latke. I have to look that up.
That's really common.
Is caviar kosher? I've never heard of that before in my life.
This was not the first event I've been to where there's caviar with latkes on caviar. I think that's a pretty common thing.
I have to check that out. Wow, that's so interesting. I've never heard of that.
Caviar is kosher because it's fish.
I mean, I eat it anyway. I don't care.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. They definitely did. Yeah, it doesn't matter. But I ate it. I didn't think I got sick from the food at the Hanukkah party because it happened so fast.
Yeah.
It was like 15, 20 minutes. But then I ate it at Bernie's and all of a sudden it came back and it was worse this time because I think I ate more caviar. And I looked it up after and you can be allergic to caviar and it can cause like a gastrointestinal event. This was some of the worst pain I've ever experienced in my life. I'm not particularly religious. I was in my bathroom. I'm not joking. Full throated speaking out loud to God.
No. Like
asking
that
him
only
to
happens
make it.
When I eat like a certain amount of hot Cheetos.
And I
like a very specific
was,
amount.
Like, and I was like, any progressive bone in my body died. I was like, God, you have he, him pronouns, and I need you to fix this now. Like, I am dying.
It's in those moments where you really figure out who you think God is and what you think about gender. I think God's a man too, and I only know that, first of all, because the world is so fucked up that this could only be a man's doing.
Yeah.
Secondly, it just comes out in those most desperate moments.
Exactly.
It's like, you have to
I was like
all
talking
behind.
Out loud to God. Kate, the dog I live with, was like sitting in the doorway of the bathroom looking at me like, are you gonna die?
A dog named Kate is also so funny.
I love her so much. But it was truly horrific. So that was New Year's Eve. I was up till 3:30 in the morning vomiting. But then New Year's Day, I woke up completely recovered and had a wonderful day. So I'm like choosing to accept this year. Because New Year's Eve is my favorite holiday. So I was very, very sad when I woke up that I had like lost this night.
Sucks.
And my friends who I went out with had like what seemed to be literally the best night ever. So I was.
It's a bummer.
Worst FOMO I've had in years. But then I had a gorgeous New Year's Day. So I'm just choosing to be like, that was my day for New Year's and it's fine. And
maybe
next
that's maturing
year,
is if New Year's Day is better than New Year's Eve.
Maybe. And also I think the maturing thing of like was being of like sitting in the FOMO for like truly 1 hour and then being like, okay, it's done.
Yeah.
Move on and have a good day. And now I'm fine.
Yeah.
I've moved. How was the Soho Grand?
Oh, it was good. I also spent a lot of my time on the toilet, on my knees over the toilet for different reasons.
Because of an open bar?
An open bar will do me dirty. Like, and I always think that I'm fine. I'm such a fucking lightweight. One glass of champagne. I purposefully didn't pregame this event because I was like, I know I'm going to drink a lot there. I had a big dinner, one glass of champagne and two dirty martinis. Out like a light on the floor of the fucking bathroom.
Well, to be fair, that's like bubbles and pickle juice. Like, it's just like, it's like brazen.
Whatever,
like, that's
that should not knock out somebody, especially like,
no, but
I'm not like a stick. Like,
no, I know, but martinis are one of those things where it's like, at some places, it's 2 ounces of liquor, and at some places, it's like 5.
Yeah.
And like, that's what you have to be careful about is like a martini, like, there's places where 2 martinis could make me blackout.
Yeah.
Like, that is just the reality
of it. Well, that's the unfortunate thing. I would love to be the person who blacks out. I would love to not remember things. I remember every single thing, but I have no control in the moment. I hate
to
be that drunk.
Like, it's like that POV, like, memory of, like,
yes.
You're, like, in the...
I'm not in the driver's seat, but I see everything that's happening, and I remember everything I do, which is sucky. Like, I loved waking up in college and hearing my friends, like, ask me questions about what they did and being like, ugh, the piece of like you not knowing exactly what happened to you. I guess it's a gift in some ways as a woman, but I always remember there's never been a moment where I have woken up and thought, I don't know where I am or what I did. Yeah. I remember every fucking thing, which sucks. I remember like down to like the exact chunks that came up out of my bowels. Like I remember the smell of the bathroom. I remember that I tipped the bathroom attendant very generously. Her name was Maimuna, and she gave me a neck massage. I remember everything. And that's what happened. Then the clock strikes midnight. My boyfriend wasn't there. Here's the thing. I don't care about a New Year's kiss. I don't think it's a big deal.
Barfing for 2 hours.
Especially after I've been barfing. Well, remember, I tipped my Muna really well. She gave me like 12 mints. I was like good to go. I've never been better after.
You probably listened. Yeah, yeah.
It was a really bad 30 minutes of being. I have a vivid memory of going to my friend Erica and saying, I need help. I need food and water. And repeating that like 4 times and just throwing up, stealing food off of people who paid for tables. And suddenly feeling much better. Like it's just,
and then
were
you
able
to like continue partying the rest of the night?
Totally. Like I lost control for like 20
minutes. Did you
go
back to drinking?
No. Oh my God. The thought, to this day, the thought of alcohol makes me gag.
Oh, you're in that. Yeah, yeah.
I'm still in that place. But,
I get that.
And everyone at this party thought it was insane that I wouldn't do a goodnight kiss with my boyfriend because I wanted to be at the fancy party and not at his apartment. What? No kiss is worth missing out on like a masquerade black tie ball. Excuse me.
Well, it's also like every couple does it differently. I think that's weird.
I also just think, like, who cares? It's a kiss. I was over there by 3 a.m. We did West Coast. I gave him a little peck.
That's cute.
It was fine. And then I went upstairs and watched Lost in his bed until he was done.
Are you watching Lost for the first time?
I'm watching Lost for the 8th time.
Oh, wow.
Have you ever seen?
So when Lost originally aired, there was literally no bigger fan of Lost in the world than me. Like, I'm telling you, I was
like, we're going to have a lot to talk
about. Like, I was obsessed with
this conversation.
I was obsessed with like the internet alternate reality game that was like where they were like hidden clues and all of that. Mm-hmm. And then season four, whatever season where they introduced the time travel, I think is season four.
Five.
Okay. I had something happened where like I got put in a school play or something and we moved. I think what happened was, I think it was high school and we moved. And when we moved, the place where we moved to didn't have DVR capabilities. Like Vermont, like that part of Vermont did not have cable technology to do DVR anymore or something like that. And so I couldn't DVR Lost and I was like in a high school play and I fell behind on the season. And
you never caught back up.
Well, I remember being like so stressed out and upset about it. And then after like 3 weeks, I think it like detoxed out. And I was like, wait, I think I'm actually happy you're not watching this show. Like the amount of like unanswered questions, the constant mysteries. And I was like, I think I'm happy you're not constantly worried about the show and trying to figure out what's going on. And I have a sneaking suspicion that they're not going to land the plane. And then they didn't.
You're kidding. I have a sneaking suspicion that after 6 seasons, they're not going to get off the island.
No. I mean, like answer all the questions and make it all make sense.
Oh, I thought you meant literally land the plane back in Los Angeles.
Sorry, that was an insane way to... But like, I was like, I have a feeling they don't know what the fuck is going on
this show. Oh, they don't.
And so when it aired...
Well, they did up until season like 4.5.
Yeah.
And then they
lost. But then when it aired, when like the finale aired, I went and I read what happened. And I remember being like, I felt so validated. I was like, thank God I stopped watching this fucking show. Because like, it was... so crazy. And now I have such a barometer for that, or like if I'm watching a TV show and it's really juicy and good, and then I start to sense that the writers don't know where it's going, like they're just kind of making mysteries.
Yeah.
I'm like,
Are you watching Yellow Jackets? No.
Okay.
I can't allow myself to think in those terms when I really love a show. I know that Lost is like that,
totally.
But I have to believe that the ending was good. And I fight with people on the internet all day long, like my secret account, over how the Lost ending actually makes perfect fucking sense, and anyone who doesn't understand it is an idiot. Like, I went to Comic-Con to see the cast of Lost. I am...
Were you a fan when it was airing? Like, is this where...
I don't even know if I was alive. I have idea. It was, like, the early 2000s, right?
Yeah, I guess you were really young. Yeah,
I was in elementary school.
When did you get into Lost?
High school. Like, freshman year of high school. And I've seen it probably every year since.
Wow.
I am a huge... Like, I don't know why it is my comfort show. It is my... It's not even a comfort show because it doesn't make me comfortable. It gives me immense anxiety and it makes me kind of angry and it makes me like constantly thinking about why didn't this get answered? Why didn't that? Yet I still it just makes me so happy. And I really do. I don't know why Gen Z hasn't like caught on. I think it's because it hasn't landed on Netflix yet. I think that this would be a great thing for Gen Z to make like their new bingeable show. And it's like just great. It's a hefty 6 seasons. It takes up a lot of your brain space. These kids should be watching Lost, honestly. It would be an amazing distraction and just like a great thing to get this generation to refocus their energies and do something really productive.
I feel like I was so drawn in by, because there was all of these like I remember it would be like, there would be all these internet articles after every episode that were being like talking, like there was like, remember how there'd be like the whispers and it's like, if you play the audio of the whispers back, it actually says this. And like all, they had all these like hidden things in the show, but then none of that actually meant anything in the end. And I was so mad about
it. The problem is once you've watched it two or three times, you go back through episodes and it's really hard to get yourself to pay attention to an episode that isn't particularly interesting because you can convince yourself that it's not that significant. Like you don't need to be watching, which is why it's so fast to rewatch for me, because I skip like 3 episodes a season because it's like, oh, I don't care.
Right.
But there are certain things that it's like, they really, the first 2 seasons of that show were like an unbelievable feat. Like, I don't understand how people can think that way. Like, I think that is some of the most beautiful television that's ever been created. And it's like a wonder to me that Gen Z hasn't caught on to that and made that like their big thing. I think that that should be like the new binging show. That is my rec. Another rec, Pinkberry. Forgot about that too.
We talked about it on a recent episode.
Really? I've been obsessed.
We talked about it on the Girls podcast. We talked about
Maria's.
It. The HBO Girls podcast.
Oh my God. Yeah. That was a really funny podcast, by the way. Go watch that. But I have been really getting into Pinkberry recently.
What's your topping? What's your order?
Cookies and cream.
Oh, okay.
Small. They give you a lot of yogurt there.
Yeah.
And I get the milk chocolate crunch. It's an extra dollar, but I'm balling. And I get the dark chocolate crisp. I prefer a chocolate palette to a fruit palette for my frozen yogurt.
So interesting. My favorite at Pinkberry, it's one of two. It's the original tart, always. Mm-hmm. I love the original tart. And then it's a chocolate fruit combo. So it's usually the chocolate sauce and then either the strawberry, like, is it boba? The little like fruit balls. Or just strawberries.
I like the popping boba balls.
The popping boba balls, those or just regular strawberries.
There's nothing I hate like a bitch in my ear who's like, I can't believe you eat those boba balls. A lot of people have a aversion to those popping balls and they think it's insane.
Yeah.
I hate when people give me like, first of all, don't yuck my yum.
Well, no, ever. I've never.
You can't yuck my yum. But when people, they have such a problem with boba and the concept of like circular chewy things. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm
pulling up the calls, by the way.
Oh, I have them up. Oh, we can do them. My one version of that is I really hate in a salad when cherry tomatoes aren't halved. I don't like a popping cherry tomato in my mouth.
I don't like a single cherry tomato ever in my life.
If it's halved, I'm happy to have it. But when I don't like the pop in my mouth of a cherry tomato. Specifically unpleasant.
It's like a savory boba.
I
don't support any cherry tomato.
Have you ever had like, it's the golden ones. Those are so good. Okay, let's play the first call.
Comment below if you like the popping boba.
Hey, Kelly and Jake. Love the pod. I need advice on a situation that's been bugging me for a minute, but I don't know if it's worth rocking the boat over. So I'm 24. I live in an urban part of New Jersey, right outside of New York City. I'm not going to say where, because I want to stay anonymous. And my 3 best friends and I have a tight group. They're like my core girls since childhood. They live in a suburban New Jersey area and they're all near each other, about an hour away from me. Because of that, I'm always the one who needs to travel to their neck of the woods to hang out. And it's a pain in the ass, but these girls are like my soulmates, so I do it, you know. So I'm like Samantha Jones type. I like to host people and throw parties and all that. So since moving here, I've had 3 parties. And like, mind you, they're not ragers by any means. They're more like get-togethers. But the issue is 2 out of the 3 girls don't make an effort to come to said events. And both of them have excuses each time that I kind of call bullshit on, because I know they both get a little anxious when in an urban area, even if it's safe like the one I live in.
Ooh.
So I guess it's overstimulating or something to them. I don't really get it because I live here. But I also think they don't want to do the drive. So So I'm about to have a New Year's Eve party, which I sent out invites for to my core girls at the end of November. And this time I didn't even respond to the invite. So bottom line is, it hurts my feelings that they don't make the effort to come here and hang with me. And I'm contemplating if it's worth confronting them over, because I anticipate them being defensive or dismissive. All right. Love you guys. Thanks.
Boy, do I get this. But I think we're going to have the same thing to say.
Actually, I think we're probably going to have similar things. I hate, like, the person, obviously, as a man, I only can within certain.
Oh, no, I also have that to say as well.
I don't feel safe, girl, is like drives me nuts.
Drives me nuts. I can't have that person in my always, friend group. I understand.
Always racism. I'm sorry. It's always racism.
It's racism, or it's just a type of like sheltered energy that doesn't offer anything.
It's the same as those women. It's the same thing as those women who are in the grocery store who's like, a man farted near my car. That's how you get trafficked. Do you know what I mean? Like the, like, everything's about getting trafficked. Yes. It's like that energy, yes, where it's like, you're not.
Yeah, I just don't. It's like the same, you know, like the girls who in high school, when you're like walking down the street at lunch to go to like, now I'm getting too specific, when you're leaving campus to go get food, it would always be the same type of girl who would like freak out when we walked by a homeless person. Now I'm talking about,
I mean, like that.
They like cross dramatically to the other side of the sidewalk. Vermont,
like, that specific experience has never happened to me because we couldn't, that was just not part of it. But I
have many vivid memories of like leaving campus really quick to just run to Ralph's, and girls would just be like, Talia, walk in front of me. Like, they just don't want to walk near that person.
Yeah, no, 100%.
And I understand that it's just like a certain type of being raised that there's nothing I can do and I have to empathize. But at the same time, I can't be around those types of people. Like, they're not fun and they're really annoying. So I empathize with that. I also went to a school when I was growing up where everybody lived on the very far west side of Los Angeles, so the Palisades and Venice and whatever, and I was way, way east.
The school was in
Santa Monica, so I commuted already an hour.
That's a long commute.
It was incredible. It was like a terrible experience.
Why did you go to that school?
My parents really wanted me to go to that school. They were just like, we want her to have this experience, but it was really a sacrifice on both of their parts. Like
The last time I was in LA, I stayed in Silver Lake, which is not that far from where you grew up, right?
It's far.
Where did you grow up?
I'm like
Beverly
mid-city.
Hills? Okay.
Like near LACMA.
Okay.
So I'm not that far east, but compared to Venice, I'm very far
east. I just agreed
east.
To go get dinner one night with my friends and they were like, come to Santa Monica. And I was like, sure. And then I like got in the Uber and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah,
like,
I know. You're
going
an hour.
City.
Yeah, you're going to basically to Palm Springs. Yeah. That's like really far. So all of my friends to this day still live on the west side, and all of their families, all of the parties, all of the after school hangouts would be far on the west side. And it was a really big issue for me, being that I already spent 2 hours a day in the car. And then on the weekends, I'd also have to go there, stay after school, and wouldn't have a ride back. Like, it was just a whole ordeal.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't drive. But also, this was even in middle school. And it bugged me then that people were never willing to come over to my neck of the woods, which, by the way, we always used to call it neck of the woods as well. It just drove me nuts that my friends couldn't appreciate how much I drove over to them. And because they were all there, it was like majority rules and they wouldn't come to me. It really bugged me too. And I had a very similar situation. But here's what I do have to say. If you're really anticipating that your friends will be so dismissive and so kind of mean and not understanding about a situation that you are able, I hear you, you're speaking very clearly and honestly.
Uh-huh.
And I think that you have a perfectly valid argument to make here. And all you want to tell them is that you love them and want them to come to your events once in a while. And you're afraid that they're going to be so dismissive. Why are these people your soulmates?
Well, it's also that I'm like, it doesn't sound like they would be fun if they came to the party. Like, if they don't want to be there, they're not going to be a good vibe. So I think it's a thing of like, I guess I'm like, what do you want out of this friendship? Because like, it doesn't sound to me like they're going to come to this party and be fun. Like, if they're stressed out and overwhelmed by being in the city, like, I guess maybe you're saying once they get there and they're in your apartment, like being inside an apartment in Jersey City or Hoboken or whatever fucking town they're in is like, is not like, once you're inside the party, it's like, that's not different than wherever they live. Like, it's just, you're in a house and they'll have fun. But like, it's also like, maybe it's a conversation about like, how can we maintain this friendship and like, what can we do? Or maybe you guys are drifting apart, because if you want to live in this place and have a life here and they're not willing to like engage with that, like, that unfortunately might change things.
Right. I don't think it's time to like break off the friendship.
No, I'm not saying that.
I think it's very indicative the way that she explained at the very end. My first thought, you presented it as, should I confront them? And I immediately said yes. And especially because the way that you're explaining it, it's just so logical and you're able to say it calmly and really concisely. And I think that you should totally be able to bring this up. And the way that you immediately told yourself, I know that they're going to be dismissive. And I'm like,
that part,
I don't know, man. They shouldn't be. It's just such a normal thing to express being annoyed about. And I think 100%. That if you're so worried about them being dismissive, maybe you need to invite a couple more friends to this party and see if you can make a couple new friends in the neighborhood. Yeah. Don't ditch them, but like, damn, fuck that. Nobody should be, if they're your soulmate, if they're really great friends, nobody should be so dismissive over such a little
and
thing.
And also, like, the other thing is that, like, not having the conversation and feeling resentment about the negative reaction you're assuming they'll have is like as toxic to the friendship as if they had a negative reaction. So like give them the chance to have the negative reaction or a positive reaction. Yeah. So I think you have to have the conversation.
Yeah. Amen. Good luck. Good luck, dude.
No, but I fucking hate that when people are like, do you feel safe in New York? I'm like, do you know how many people are on the street all the time? Like,
I would feel very unsafe living in a very small town, actually. I prefer to be
surrounded. I'm saying.
It's like not logical to ask if I'm safe in a place like this. You're right that it only really comes down to like
when you listen to true crime podcasts where it's like the most horrific shit in like the world, it's like it's always like Earl in the suburbs or the woods. It's never like Earl on Flatbush Avenue.
Or it's somebody with their fucking husband on vacation. Thank you very much. It's always like, it's never a stranger. It's always some guy that you know. So.
Yeah. All right. Next call. Wait, I just remembered. Hold on. Wait, sorry. I just remembered. I want to shout out. I picked up a shift at my old bar last week because they called me and someone was sick and they needed help. And so I went back and I worked at the bar I used to work at, which I'm actually doing again this week a little bit. But a listener was at one of my tables.
Oh, cool.
And she was super nice. And she was like, and it was funny because it was like towards the end of the night and I was also not feeling well, but I was like, she was like, I really like you on Talia's podcast. It was very sweet.
That's so cute. I ran into somebody in the Union Square Winter Market.
Uh-huh.
She came right up to me and I think she kind of stunned me for a second. I was like, whoa, why are you shoving your phone in my face? And it was our podcast on her phone.
Oh, like she was listening to it right then.
I have to show you the picture I took of it. It was really
so
nice.
Cute.
I liked her a lot.
Okay. Shout out to the listeners. Say hi in real life. Okay. Sorry.
Hi, Talia and Jake. Love you guys, obviously. Basically, the situation isn't like super pertinent, but as you guys frequently say, it is that deep because here I am calling into a podcast.
Yes.
So like, obviously it's somewhat pertinent. Basically, I go to school, I go to college, and I'm graduating in the spring.
Congrats.
And moving to, I'll keep it in, I'm moving to a different city, but obviously I'm home for the holidays right now. And I, for context, have been like somewhat unlucky in love. I've had a boyfriend and it didn't work out. And like now I'm just kind of like in my single era. And basically just like every time I'm home for the holidays, I find myself thinking about this one particular person from my like high school / youth who like, he's just like my 'tis the damn season guy. Like, I just always think, like, what if, you know, what if? And I'm moving to this new city, obviously, and, like, due to my investigative capabilities, I have inferred that there is a chance that he might be moving to the same city, TBD, but my, like, stalking has led me to that conclusion, and, like, I'm just wondering, even if not, is there a way in which, like, is there a reality in which I somehow nonchalantly, like, hit this dude up and see if he feels the same way? Like, how do I do that? Do I do that? Should I just not? And if it's, like, meant to be, it'll be. Or is that annoying and do I need to, like, take the reins of my destiny here? I don't know. I'm just, like, really in love with him. So, yeah, love you guys.
Pivot.
Bye.
Okay, I have immediate thoughts.
Okay.
My immediate thoughts are this. You can't reach out to him. Okay, so I'm assuming you guys follow each other on social media. You can't reach out to him about this until, like, he moves to that city and explicitly posts, like, content that shows he moves to the city. So then it can be totally normal for you to be like, wait, I moved to Austin, too, or like, whatever city it is.
Yeah.
But, like, if you, like, were to reach out now, I'd be like, hey, based on, like, some deduction I've made through, like, things you posted that, like, refer to things, I can tell you're also moving to the city. Like, that's just, like, it's... It's, you can't do it's that. Red flag behavior.
Yeah.
And like, that doesn't mean it's bad that you did that. It's just like, it's not the time where you can reach out.
Right.
Because also you're not in love with him. You're in love with like this.
This idea. Version yeah. of him,
like from high school. My thing is like with situations like this, like there is a chance in the world that like you guys end up dating at some point, but like it's such a long game from now. Like you have to both move there and get a little established. Like this isn't the time or place for it. So yeah. like you kind of just have to chill on it a little bit for now is yeah. my thought.
You're excited. It's going to be great. I just don't think that it's time for the advice yet. I think that you're going to call in a little bit.
You also.
But he's absolutely right about the. You can't reveal that you knew this before you're no, supposed to. No,
and also you can't like start off moving to a city with a situationship. Like you need to be there single and get some grounding. Like I
give it at least a couple weeks. Yeah, yeah. 100%.
You have to be like single when you move. Like you just have to. I mean, like unless you move somewhere with someone in like a serious relationship, I think otherwise you have to kind of be on your own and like learn how to swim. Like you yeah. can't learn how to swim holding someone else's hand.
It's
like,
really it's not, hard to move to a new city when you're leaning on somebody to make it feel. Exciting and comfortable.
It just gets toxic so fast because like moving to a new city, there's so many feelings of like loneliness, overwhelm, feeling stupid, feeling bad, feeling scared.
Right.
And like when you have someone else that you're like projecting or being projected that on, it like, I feel like it makes you go crazy.
Yeah, you get a little bit of a weird attachment. It's yeah. kind of unhealthy. No, I think it's going to be great. It's so funny how we have to pretend that we don't have the resources that we do to like, it doesn't even take much effort to be a total creep and know this stuff about a person. It's very easy to like click three different buttons and suddenly you know exactly where the person's next move is going to be and where they're living and totally. Whatever. You don't even have to be a crazy person. Or maybe I'm telling myself that, but you got to kind of pretend that it wasn't that easy for you and wait until there's something obvious. You can't let him know that you... we're kind of looking because it just gives it off the wrong vibe. You know what yeah. I mean? I know everything about what everyone's doing. I'm so perceptive about that kind of thing. Like I do a lot of, I don't do that much stalking, but I know exactly where everybody's doing and what their next move is.
How do you not but do I that much stalking?
I just don't feel like what I do is truly takes much effort or is creepy, but it's just very, once you're a seasoned social media user, it's very easy to know what's going on also, behind what the happens scenes, on social media, but I can't reveal that, I know.
Social media now is like, stalking is one thing, but back in like, I don't know if I've talked about this before on this podcast, but like, I used to be an internet stalker to a level you cannot imagine because Facebook used to be a different beast. Like,
yeah.
old Facebook used to have like a search, like old Facebook was so much easier to find like people you didn't know and see a lot of information about them. Like the search, I remember like the search engine on Facebook, like you could search like within, like I remember like I could search like people within like 3 years of my age who said that they were gay, who lived in Vermont, like when I was in high school. And I could look at like every publicly gay guy in Vermont's Facebook. And reader, I did. Like, I was looking at, because what else the fuck did I have to do? I was sitting at home, like, bored as shit. I Facebook stalked, like, gay guys in towns of Vermont, people I've never met and never will meet. I looked at every single Facebook photo of them. From, right. Like, back then, like, it just used to be different before we realized, like, all the privacy settings and stuff. Like, you can't search like that anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I used to, it was a different beast. I used to do so much crazy Facebook stalking back in the day.
I would stalk like my teachers. That was like my favorite thing to do. I was obsessed with looking at my teachers on Facebook.
That's where our age difference coming because like none of my teachers had Facebook back then.
Oh my God, I was obsessed. I loved to look at their Facebook accounts, find them.
Did you ever have a MySpace?
No, I just missed it. Yeah. I mean, a lot of my friends did. It was like sort of a,
yeah.
I was right under the wire for that. But yeah, Facebook was... There were people that I'd see at parties and stuff and be like, I know you, but you don't know me. But
oh, I mean,
I know what you did for your birthday last year. And I just think you're like a cool girl at the school, the other rival school that I just think is like hot. And I stalked you because I want to emulate you, but you don't know my name.
No.
Like I remember all of them too.
I remember one time this girl, I've never been more jealous of a person in my life. This girl, I remember her name was Bianca and she had red hair and I don't remember anything else about her. I think she was.
I love that she was a woman and you were so jealous of her.
No, because of this specific thing.
Oh, what?
Well, because I think she was, I was an orientation leader my sophomore, like summer before my sophomore year of college. And I think she was one of my orientees.
Okay.
Like, I think that's how I knew her. We were not like close by any means, but we were Facebook friends. I remember her posting on Facebook that in her like psych 101 like lecture, like the 200 person like big lecture hall, a guy sitting in front of her who clearly did not know she was sitting behind him Facebook stalked her profile for the entire hour of class and she just got to watch him like stalking her profile. I've never been more jealous of a person in my life. Like,
that's my dream.
And like what he's looking at, what he's going at, like what he's scrolling down, where he's searching. And she just watched it for an hour. And she was like, and it was the entire hour of class. I was like, I've never been more jealous of a person in my life. Like
that would be that type of therapy would correct me. Like that would set me straight and like really answer a lot of questions I have about myself. You know what? My dream. Can I tell you what I think is going to happen in heaven? Have we ever talked about this? This is what I think is going to happen in heaven. First, I walk into the gates of heaven and God presents me, he, she, her. Well, we know what I really think. They present me with a list and it's, well, there's a couple lists. There's everyone who's ever had a crush on me.
Oh, that's
everyone
good.
Who's ever masturbated to the thought of me, which is totally different from having a crush on me. Then they sit me down in a mixed media room where there's a giant movie theater and there's, you know, a little podcast listening studio and there's like all kinds of shit. And I can just be super comfortable and there's like a concession stand and they have popcorn. And they give me this huge index to choose from of all the true crimes in the world or all the mysteries that haven't been solved, all the unsolved mysteries. And I can consume every bit of information that's ever been published about these mysteries. And then God says, are you ready? And I say, yep. And he transports me to be a fly on the wall in the exact situation. And I will know where JonBenet Ramsey went. And I'll finally know everything. And I just have so many questions. I want to know who pushed that lady down the stairs, that Peterson lady. I want to know all these things.
You mean the, from the staircase?
Know. Yes. I will finally know.
Wow. And,
but what were we talking about? Oh, yeah. So then I'll get a list of like everybody who's Facebook stalked me and everybody who's masturbated to me. And everybody who ever thought about me, like being their bride.
Wow. That's amazing.
Don't you think that would be such a good heaven?
No, that's a good heaven. I mean, I don't want to be transported to like the scenes where people are brutally murdered.
Well, I want to be like a fly on the wall where I can't like be close to it.
Sure. I don't need to see it, but I want to be told.
I don't want to see the murder itself. I want to see the crime being like conceived. You know what I mean?
Sure. I would like to know the answers to all those crimes.
Yeah. 100%. There's all kinds of unsolved mysteries where money goes missing, people go missing. I want to know.
Yeah.
And I want to formulate my own theories.
I'm not like a true crime head like you, but season one of Serial was like, took over my entire life when it happened.
Really? I so don't care about Serial. Okay. Like, I hate that guy and I hate that woman, but I have my theories about Serial. The guy who's in jail.
Adnan?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
He's guilty, first of all. That guy drives me nuts because it's like he's completely 100% fucking guilty and this girl like convinced the entire world that like how could he be guilty? He's so nice and he has such kind eyes and he makes maple syrup with his friends in prison. Like, no.
That's not how guilty. She convinced. Okay, we can go on.
There's no proof otherwise. Like, he's absolutely guilty. But anyways.
Okay, we...
No, he killed that girl. I'm sorry. And it's really sad. And I don't... It's up to you if you think that he still deserves to be in jail for it or if it's just he deserves to be tried like as an adult for the rest of his life for an 18-year-old thing. But no, he killed her. What took us to this point?
I don't know, but I don't think we're going to agree on the conversation, so we can move on.
I have a 9-part series for you to listen to about Adnan Syed and why he's absolutely 100% guilty.
Let's play the next call.
Hi, guys. Love your podcast. Both of you, Talia and Jake's podcast. I have a, what is it that people say, conundrum? I'm having a conundrum. I don't know. I'm conflicted. Not really. But I do nails, and I did this girl's nails, and I kind of found out that one of my other clients is being cheated on by her husband. My client, she's a little older. She's like in her 40s and she has like a million kids with this guy. And he works at this place that I know the name of. And she's native, so she gets a lot of money from the tribe, but she still like works a lot. Like, I don't think she gets that much money, but like a decent amount.
And so I did this other girl's nails, and she was telling me about how she used to work this place. And I was like, oh, like, I have a client whose husband worked there, and I guess he's, like, suing the company because he got injured. And she's like, oh, my God, I know who you're talking about. But he told everybody that he wasn't married, and he has fucked at least two of my coworkers that I know and tried to get at me. And I literally, like, screamed. I didn't know what to do because I'm like, bro, like, I can't tell her. I can't fucking tell her. I don't know. As a nail tech, I'm like, I mind my own business. I listen to the tea, but at the end of the day, I mind my own business. So, like, ah, dude, what do I do? I can't tell her. I don't think I can tell her. But hopefully this is entertaining enough for you two. Okay, love you guys.
I mean, great call, gorgeous call.
No, you can't tell her.
You can't tell her.
I love you, though. Oh, that's so cool. Your nail tech. It's like a Legally Blonde. That's how I imagine, like, just like the girl in the salon who's like picking up on all the drama, but she can't say anything.
Yeah, you can't tell. I think at most you can stop taking appointments with her if you don't want to have to face her. But
that's sad. Damn.
Yeah, but I get not wanting to like feel fake and lying to her, but you also can't tell her.
You can't tell her.
It's too, there's too many variables. Like, that's not. Like, oh my God, I know exactly who you're talking about, but like it's already like third party by a third party. Like, it's not a secure source.
Yeah.
It's not your business.
Yeah.
You can't tell.
You can't do anything. Have you ever told a friend that they're getting cheated on?
No, because I don't, like, most of my gay friends are in open relationships, and then I haven't, like, fortunately, there was only one time in college where there was a big cheating scandal in my friend group, and it was people on like the outside, like they were people that my friends were close with that I was not super close with, but it was massive, but I had no idea until it came out. But it was like, it was literally scandal. Like, the best friend, like,
was hooking up with him for a bunch of time.
Yes, and the girlfriend kept on having panic attacks that she felt like she was getting cheated on, but she couldn't figure out by who, and was having those with the girl. Like, being like, he's cheating on me and I can't figure out. And she was like, no. It was bad. It was really bad.
That causes serious trust issues forever
I'm
and
sure.
ever.
But like, but I didn't know about any of that until it all came out. I would, like, the thing is, like, it's like, it's so easy for me to say, like, not in it. Like, you can't tell. But like, if I was in it, I would lose my mind.
Yeah.
I would really lose my mind. I mean, the only thing you can, yeah, but. She's so removed from it that it's like you can't even go to the husband and be like, you need to tell her. You know what I mean? Which I think is like what you do if you like can't hold a secret in but don't want to have to be the one to break it.
Yeah. No, I don't think that there's anything you can do.
Have you ever been in that situation where you knew someone was getting cheated on?
Not that I remember. I mean, I've known people are getting cheated on, but I've never been close enough where it's like it's any of my responsibility to get involved in any way. Like, I've watched people that I know were cheating on the other. You know what I mean?
Like from afar. Like a party or something?
No, like I'll run into a couple that I know that is still together and I know that he is cheating on her, but I don't know them well enough at all. And I found out through a third party.
Oh, that you found out through a third
party. Like, somebody told me, like, yeah, he cheats on her. And I'm just like, but there's nothing that I can do about that. I'm not friends with them. It's just a couple that I see like now and then. And I don't even know if it's like 100% true, but it's just kind of.
Also goes back to that. I guess I also always assume like you never know. It's like the thing that when we had Claire and Ashley on where it's like sometimes when people are like, oh yeah, he cheats on her, it's like, or like you're just assuming that they're not open or you don't know. Like, it's that thing of like,
yeah, you don't know.
I mean, like, I guess like odds are it's cheating, but like, I guess I do always just give the benefit of the doubt where I'm like, it's not my business, so I don't know all the details.
Yeah. I mean, technically, if you want to talk about dishonesty and things that are absolutely wrong, I can tell you a bunch of people whose boyfriends are like liking my photos or whatever that are like disgusting. You know what I mean? Like, guys do that all the time that I know who's a sleazeball.
And you think it's sleazy for them to like a photo of you?
Not of me, or like I like liking photos of, like, commenting on photos of porn stars on Instagram or whatever.
Wait, guys with girlfriends, it's like people can see that. That's kind of crazy.
Here's my thing with that. Guys make such a big deal as though this is like such a thing that girls think about all the time with the liking the photos and whatever. No girl cares if you go and like look at Sydney Sweeney's Instagram or Emily Ratajkowski's Instagram. I look at them too. Like, it's, you're allowed to think that other women are attractive. Yeah. It's not, it's human nature. No girl cares about that. It's about the humiliation aspect of it. It's about the fact that like everyone knows that you're my boyfriend. Why do you have to announce to the world that you looked at this naked photo? Which, by the way, let's not pretend you're just like, oh, it's just a photo of a girl that I'm liking. Why are you sexualizing it? She's naked.
No, yeah.
You know exactly what you're doing. No, I get
that. How do you feel about...
Women like it. It's like, it's not about, like, disloyalty to me. Because also, like, what is Sydney Sweeney going to do? DM you when she sees that you liked her photo?
No, totally.
I'm saying, like, it's embarrassing. It just makes you look like such a dog. It's so, like, desperate and weird. B, it's humiliating because you're not supposed to assert that you think other women are attractive when everyone knows you're in a relationship. Why can't you look at it privately and not like the photo? That's all I think. Like, why do you have to like and comment on these photos of women? Why can't you just enjoy them and not act on it?
What do you feel about, like, a guy paying for OnlyFans when he has a girlfriend?
I don't know if I've ever had that problem. If I, like, found out that my boyfriend was looking at OnlyFans, it would make me be like, why do you feel like you need to subscribe? I just feel like OnlyFans is a little bit more personal than porn. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. It's also, like, more ethical, but I think it would be hard to believe a guy's doing reason, but it is more
isn't
ethical.
I think OnlyFans, I think cramping. I have a neck cramp too. When I think OnlyFans, I think you're subscribing and paying in order to speak to the person. That to me would be a different thing. Like, why do you need to have a conversation with someone?
Yeah, but I don't think that's what I think that, like, OnlyFans is mostly just, like, you're able to see, like, the videos and content they post. And you can message them, but, like, I don't think that, like, I don't think it's actually, like, sexted. Like, the person, you know? Especially, like, these big OnlyFans creators, they have, like, thousands of followers.
Yeah. No, I don't think they care about that. I know. I've actually read something about that, and I don't think that they're making a lot of money, but it's not as much as you would think it is.
Well, the people at the top are making a lot of money, but the number, I think it's like 95% of people are making less than, like, $500 a month. But then, like, the people who are in, like, the top percent are making, like,
tons.
So, I mean, Bad Baby made $50 million.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Who wants to see her naked? Like, why? What's the appeal?
Like, literally millions
of
people.
She's not ugly, but, like, why do people care that much?
I don't know. I can't. Sexuality is a mystery that keeps the human experience.
It's weird that that's
running.
Like, the most popular person on there. I just wouldn't think so.
Well, I think it's the thing of when someone's famous, you know, famous, and you, like, I think when you know someone on the internet for XYZ reasons,
right,
and then there's an opportunity to see them naked, that feels closer to the real life experience of, like, having sex where you, like, get to finally see someone naked.
No, I think I do really well on that because I have a little bit, like, only a tiny bit of notoriety.
Yeah,
for
you would make a shit ton of money.
So then people would, like, be interested to see without my
But I've always said the number one reason I could never do OnlyFans is because if the day I announced my OnlyFans, no one subscribed, I would have to kill myself.
Oh my God, I would kill myself.
You know,
too.
The worst thing.
You're absolutely right.
That's the number one reason I could never do it.
Oh yeah, I don't think I have the confidence to know that people wouldn't like it. Or I'd, like, see, it's like TikTok where I see my views, like, petering out and I'm like, oh, have I lost relevance? But it's like, my titties, really? Like, this was the thing that I really depended on forever. Like, I never thought that these would go out of style.
Yeah.
My sense of humor, maybe. How are you going to cancel my boobies? That would be crazy. Yeah, no. But yeah, I don't think I would care if a guy was on OnlyFans, really. I would care if he was messaging someone.
No, that makes more sense.
But I just think that it's so humiliating, the argument that they make of, like, why can't I give a girl a like? It's like, why do you need everyone to know what you're masturbating
to?
No,
that I think is valid.
Why don't you just look at it privately? Like, I go and look at, like, I don't know, whose Instagram account do I look at? Little Dickie. I go and, like, fantasize about Mark Ruffalo now and then. I look on his Instagram. Sure. But whatever. I don't have to go and comment on it, like, babe, you're so sexy. Like, also, there's totally a difference because Mark Ruffalo isn't a sex symbol and he's not posting photos naked. It's just different.
I get what you're saying. Okay, well, this has been Basic Training. Thank you for listening. Rate and review if you haven't yet, please. Call us in with more situations and questions. We love the gossip at 929-269-4960.
Or email us your voice memo.
Oh, yes.
BasicTradingPod@gmail.com. The quality sounds great.
The quality is gorgeous. Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.